Hello, welcome to Witch Talks Podcast, Big Pipe Power, Season 3, Episode 1. Yeah, that's right, seasons now. That way, when I don't make an episode for a year or, you know, 6 months at a time, it's just the summer break. That makes sense. Our introduction tune was our new Angus MacKay tune for the podcast, the Tappet Jig, and then Into the Maguire's Jig, which I'm playing in honor of my buddy Graham Maguire, who paddled the Columbia River this summer and is, I think, soon to return from Trinidad and Tobago. So welcome home, Graham. It's a pretty cool tune, and I thought about him when I played it. So, yeah, I didn't keep up with the podcasting over the summer. Being a seasonal park ranger is a little bit distracting, turns out, and didn't get anything new out. I worked on a lot of tunes, and I'm kind of working on, I want to get an album out this winter, which is becoming a little bit more problematic than I wanted it to be, but we'll see what happens with that anyway. But this Tappet Jig, if anybody follows me on Facebook, they'll see that I had this episode all ready to go yesterday, and I was going to put it together, and then I realized that the sound levels on my little Zoom recorder were way too high, and so the bagpiping was all screeching all over the place. So I went back and tried things again, and kind of good thing I did, because I was playing this Angus MacKay tune, the Tappet Jig, a bit wrong, or rather I was trying to play it too right. MacKay writes his tarluas in a pretty, in a different way than we write them now, just as a grip and then a grace note, and in this tune, the Tappet Jig, it has that movement, and I thought it was supposed to sound like a tarlua, but I think it's actually supposed to be a grip and a grace note, which I didn't do. I just wound up giving it all its value as eighth notes. But anyway, it's a pretty rocking tune. And the Maguire's Jig, I wasn't going to post, and I didn't the first run of recording this podcast. But today, just kind of wandering around, I had the song, the tune stuck in my head so extremely that I was able to play it from memory. And just left thinking, like, what the hell tune is that anyway? And then went through Neil Dickey's book, and it wasn't there, and then realized, oh yeah, that's Maguire's Jig, and found it in a photo that I took of it. It's out of Scotsguards, so hopefully this isn't the beginning of a, I'm going to play every tune in Scotsguard thing, but it's a pretty cool tune book, really. I have one of them, I'm not sure which, but I was just in North Carolina using my buddy Jordan's copy of it, and that's where I found it again. So I might have played the tune before in my life. I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure I've heard it before. And the other thing that you're lucky for is the bagpipe tune I recorded originally was just Not the Bunny Hop, which is another Neil Dickey tune from the first book. But I recorded, like, the last episode I did, I recorded it on small pipes, and I don't know. It's an okay tune. But as I was re-recording it today, I kind of flipped through the pages a little bit and wound up on Callum and the Princess, and that tune just blew my friggin' mind, and I played it about, I mean, it's new, right, so I'm sure I'll change how I play it in the future, and I'm sure I'm making some mistakes, and some of them are intentional, but I'm sure I'm kind of fudging with it a little bit here, because I maybe played it 20 times today, and then you're getting probably version 18 or 17 of me playing it, but it's a really awesome tune, really. I think it's going to jump into my repertoire because, you know, really, of the Neil Dickey tunes and the first book tunes that I've been playing for the podcast, I think only Patty has really made it into my repertoire or whatever. It's the only one I really played this summer a lot, and that's just because it sounds so much like a Angus MacKay tune, but there might have been one other one, too. Can't remember the name of it now. But and then the Whitby Runaround, and I also recorded The Clumsy Lover. I think I'm going to do that for every podcast from here on out. I'm going to record a version of me playing Clumsy Lover as written, and then with me playing it however the hell I have broken it. Because really, the Clumsy Lover is like the most messed with and broken tune on the planet, and maybe the most popular one too, I don't know. Like, of all the tunes that I play that people, like people that hear me play on a regular basis, you know, they know not to ask for Amazing Grace or Scotland the Brave kind of thing, but they all, like, most of them start to pick up on the Clumsy Lover being a cool tune to ask for. So it's like, it's the inside tune that's always requested, right? Like, am I wrong on this? Is anybody want to weigh in? Is Clumsy Lover, in fact, the most popular bagpipe tune right now? I mean, I know it's probably not hip in the recording or in the competition circles, but in terms of, like, playing out and about and, like, bands covering it, like, goodness, seems like every band has done it. Even Gordon Duncan did a version of it way back when. But anyway, enough about that. If you have any opinions on Clumsy Lover, kind of send it on in. Anyway, here's Callum and the Princess, which is an awesome tune by Neil Dickey out of his first book, so enjoy. Hey, quick disclaimer, although it's out of Neil Dickey's first book, the guy that wrote the tune is actually Scott McCauley. Scott McCauley. It's got to be McCauley, right? Anyway, so it's not written by Neil Dickey, but it's a rockin' tune. Listening to the audio as I'm putting it together, it sounds an awful lot like I'm attributing that tune to Neil Dickey. But it's just in his book. Anyway, here it is. Enjoy. Bye. So, a long time ago, or not a long time ago, I think last year in the cycle of podcasting, I had a song stuck in my head, or a tune, and I played a little bit of it to see if anybody knew what it was. I think this is the tune. Anyway, but that tune. Well, I found it when I was visiting my lady friend's family down in North Carolina. Her brother Jordan, who's a piper, just started playing it, and I was like, holy crap, that's the tune. It's Lucy Cassidy, and it's pretty rockin'. It's still throwing me for a bit of a loop. The third part is, or no, the second part? The second part's a bit tricky. I'm not entirely sure that I'm playing it correctly, but I have the music for it, and I'm playing it, and that makes me happy. So here's Lucy Cassidy, written by, who wrote Lucy Cassidy? I'm not sure that I even know that, the copy I have it, it is George McIntyre of Campbelltown. But yeah, Lucy Cassidy, Hornpipe, on page 51 or whatever book this is out of, but I don't know what it's from. So okay, enjoy. Hope you like it. I really do. Still want to kind of perfect it and learn it a bit better, but there you go. Thank you. Okay. I've been traveling around quite a bit. If anybody's friends with me on Facebook, you see me posting photos. I've been on a trip looking at all the, not at all, but at many of the mound building sites in North America. Went to Effigy Mounds in just across the river from Prairie du Chien. And actually went to Villa Luisa Prairie du Chien, visited with a friend of mine, Michael Douglas, down there. And it was kind of cool. The Villa Luisa is built on an old mound, which I didn't realize. I've been there before, and you know, I think I must have known that it was up on a hill. I just didn't register, like, oh, yeah, that's a mound. So that's kind of cool. Our first mound stop was kind of an inadvertent one there at the Villa Luisa. And then from the Effigy Mounds, we went south to Dubuque and took a break from mound viewing to go to the Mississippi River Aquarium and Museum there. I tell you, that was awesome. And if anybody's remotely close to Dubuque, it's kind of a fun little day spent going through the aquarium there. And the otters were so active. Like, it seems like most aquariums you go to, they've got some kind of cute mammal around to make you feel like, hey, something that, you know, has a face that I can relate to. But I've never been to a zoo where the cute fuzzy things are actually doing cute fuzzy things. But the otters were totally being cute and fuzzy and playful. So that was awesome. And then from Dubuque, we went to Des Moines and ate at the Machine Shed. If anybody's big fans of the Machine Shed, as a fam, growing up as a kid, that was a big important kind of drop-off point between Kansas and Wisconsin where I grew up. So we'd meet relatives there. So went to the Machine Shed and had some pork, got our pork on. Then drove all night to get to Cahokia Mounds there in Collinsville, Illinois. And that was awesome. All night we were reading a book about Cahokia before we got there. And then got a tour by Steve Riddle, who just put out a book, So I Bought the Farm. Some funny stories about being a farm owner. But he's also works at Cahokia, the state park and the UNESCO World Heritage Site. So he kind of gave us a bit of a tour around and told us where to go and looked at all the awesome mounds there and walked around and saw their cool museum. And then went to this awesome little taqueria that was like two blocks down the road per Steve's suggestion. That was just radically awesome food. And then we drove all night again in order to get to just outside of Dayton, Ohio. And the next day we went to Sunwatch Village, which isn't a mound site, but it's prehistoric anyway. The Fort Ancient culture there, which was, I was on such a high the first time I went there from being at Hopewell site that I thought it was way better than it was. There was still some cool stuff there. It was the first time I ever learned to appreciate pottery, because you can tell, you can kind of track, since women make pottery, you can track where women live based on where the pottery shards turn up. So the different decorations are, they seem to be kind of specific to women or family groups. And so it makes, I don't know, it's just, it was super cool. And before then, I never gave a damn about pots and things at prehistoric sites. Then we went to Chillicothe and Hopewell and spent a couple days there because the Hopewell sites are just so awesome. That whole culture is just rad. If anybody's within 6 hours of Chillicothe, Ohio, and you've never been to Hopewell, it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. Go there and check it out, because there's some beautiful art on display of the stuff that the people at Hopewell made, but then just seeing all these earthen structures that they've, some of them reconstructed, some of them are still original. It's pretty awesome. Maybe not 6 hours, unless you're into this kind of thing. That might be a bit of a stretch, but 2 hours certainly. And, you know, we drove, I think, about 8 to 10 hours out of the way to get there, because it was such a destination, and we plan on going back again and again and again because it's too cool. Then from Hopewell, we went to the Serpent Mound there in Ohio again, someplace, I think, which was kind of weird. The gift shop at Serpent Mound had a whole section dedicated to how the world was going to end in 2012 and 2013, so that was a bit weird, but the mound is cool. But the new age kind of weirdness of the gift shop made me a little uncomfortable with some of the stuff that they were doing, and it put me in a skeptic mode, so then I was less inclined to believe that the various twists and turns of the serpent were actually there intentionally to morph and to match the equinox moonrises and things. It just seemed a little too, I don't know, it wasn't done well, and maybe I was just in a weird mood about it by the time we got there. Then we kind of took a break from mounds, kind of stopped by Laurel's family's place, and there was a Mississippian mound there someplace that I think we saw, but it's just in some farmer's field, so it's pretty hard to spot him. And then after a long break from mound touring, or so, like a week after Thanksgiving, we went by the Town Creek Indian Mound site just outside of Charlotte, and that was a pretty awesome site too. That was by far the best reconstructed mound we had seen. it was a reconstructed mound completely, so it's kind of hard to say that it was the best lined mound, but it had really good straight lines and angles on it. You could see just kind of how impressive mounds are in terms of their geometry and their shape and how they're made. And then they had a couple cool reconstructed huts and things there too. And also in the temple mound, or like the town hall mound, the only mound they had there rather, but in the reconstructed gathering place on the top of the mound, they had some black drink just there, like, a shell you could drink it from, and the shrubbery that you make it from, and then a big old mason jar full of what I assume is black drink. I didn't try it out because I got a bit of food poisoning after we left another mound site. Oh shoot, I forgot about that mound site. We stopped at one of the hilltop forts, the old stone fort in Tennessee. That was pretty cool too, but it was another one of these kind of just a gathering place around the same time as Hopewell Culture, but maybe not Hopewell Culture sites in Tennessee. But that was a pretty sight too. But don't eat at the Three Amigos in that town if you're ever thinking about needing a bite to eat after visiting, the old stone fort, because you'll get food poisoning and you'll be purging yourself from both ends. Yeah. So that was awesome. It was an awesome way to spend Thanksgiving, was getting over food poisoning. But anyway, so that was Town Creek and New Mounds, and we stopped over at Everything Scottish kind of at the end of our trip in Boone, North Carolina, and I got some new reeds and talked to the fellow there, Harvey, I think. I don't know, that started the Grandfather Mountain Pipe Band anyway. But picked up some MG reeds for my McCallum pipes. I was leaving my McCallum pipes down in North Carolina to play with Jordan down there, and so I have a set of pipes I don't have to fly with all the time. And then we took photos, which is probably going to be the title picture for this episode. Laurel took some photos of me with my new tablet on top of the Blue Ridge Parkway, quite near Grandfather Mountain, but they look awesome, so we'll probably post them. Yeah, so anyway, so now I'm back in Minnesota. Hopefully, like I said, get this podcast off the ground. Trying to work on another article for the Journal of the Early Americas, get that out of here in a couple of days. Yeah, so I'll be busy, but I thought I'd just try to knock out a podcast here to get back in the swing of things. So we'll go out to Tutwaggian Rhapsody here. This is Bohemian Rhapsody performed by Queen, of course, with me injecting myself right inside there, like I always was belonging to be there. But anyway, it's still one of my like guilty pleasure things that I enjoy listening to. So I hope you enjoy it, and I'm gonna say happy missed all of the year from May till now. So hope you had a good, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day. I'm sure there's some other holidays in there, whatever. But I'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll get another episode up before 6 months have passed. Cheers.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and
really matter. Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
Galileo,
Galileo, Figaro,
Magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Let me go.
Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me.